You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by ShadyRays.com for quality, affordable, polarized sunglasses. Use promo code ESPN at ShadyRays.com for a buy one, get one special. Nate Cecina, he is out with a hand and wrist injury. That was announced earlier today by the University of Kentucky. Coach Hal immediately took to social media to tell BBN about the injury. Good news, however, for BBN. Kyle Tucker, among others, reporting that the prognosis after surgery today of Sestina's hand and wrist is about a three-week recovery return. To the U of L side of things, Chris Mack met with the media today. Duke lost last night in overtime to Stephen F. Austin. So does that mean U of L will be the new number one team in the land? Will they have to get past Western Kentucky Friday, a team that is imposing, especially with big man Charles Bassey? Chris Mack today. That sound brought to you earlier today on the V Show, courtesy of our friends at Class Act Federal Credit Union. And it's Governor's Cup weekend. Our local coverage will begin at 8 a.m. on Saturday right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Also, all local shows will air Friday as well. Happy Thanksgiving. Peter Burns of SEC Network next. This is SportsCenter.
It's Bob Valvano. Find us online anytime at ESPNLouisville.com.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
I think, are we not having Peter Burns?
I just got a text message. They're having a little bit of a newborn meltdown. So they're dealing with a baby. So maybe next segment. So in the meantime, it is We Want to Know Wednesday, after all. And that means only one thing. Flatmate Thomas, Tom Farmer, joined in studio. All right, always, some We Want to Know Wednesdays. Let me talk a little Governor's Cup, too.
We Want to Know Wednesday Thanksgiving became a holiday after Sarah Joseph Hale wrote 17 letters asking Abraham Lincoln to make it such. She, by the way, was also the writer of Mary Had a Little Lamb. I always feel like I've done nothing with my life when I see people who've created holidays, written songs that the whole world knows. I mean, that's how do people do that? Like these guys, watching Behind the Music or whatever the hell that show is always intrigues me. You know, you watch these people and, yeah, I wrote that song when I was 16. And I wrote it in my garage. Now, the whole world knows it. They wrote it in a little garage in a little dumpy house somewhere in California. And everybody, how the hell do they do that? How do they do that? That's my question. How does that come about? That's a phenomenon that's rather remarkable. So if they're like 70 years old now, that means they have been household names for 55 years. 55 years of your life. Everywhere you go, people know that you wrote, you know, pick a song from that era, like a John Fogerty song or our friend Brian Wilson, one of the great interviews we ever had.
Where's that Marconi? Where is that Marconi?
I don't know. It is, in fact, the artist formerly known as what was your original name? Roommate Tom.
Roommate Tom. Now Flatmate Thomas. Now Tom Farmer.
Just Tom Farmer. That's a funny name to make that one up. That one made me laugh the most. The Tom Farmer. Where'd you come up with that?
When my mother is really angry, my Brooklyn mother from Park Slope, it's Thomas Michael Farmer.
Oh,
get over here right
Farmer.
Now.
F-A-R-M-A.
Farmer.
That's impressive. Yeah, you can go right in.
That's when you know you're really in trouble.
All right. What? I hope you didn't bring a very confusing one today, because you dig deep into the minutia of facts. What do you got for us today?
Well, I'm trying to be better about sticking to sports a little bit while also sticking to nerdiness. So Okay. Today we're going to talk about Spyridon Luis.
Spyridon Luis.
So if I were to phrase it as a trivia question, I would say, who was the winner of the first modern Olympic marathon? And the answer would be Spyridon Luis. He was a Greek soldier who, whenever the modern Olympics in 1896 got started in Athens, they said, you know what, we're going to have a marathon. Of course, the marathon was created, the 26-mile race, because after the Greeks won the Battle of Marathon, Pheidippides ran the 26 miles to Athens and said, we won, and then promptly died.
Yes, which is not what they recommend now.
So that's an auspicious beginning to say, hey, let's base a race on a guy that ran and then died. So perfect, you know, let's run 26 miles.
Why not?
So the Greeks were really, really invested in making sure that they showed up right at the Olympics, made sure they got their due honors. And so they said, okay, let's recruit some runners, and we're going to practice, and we're going to have a big marathon. So for the longest time in the race, a French guy was out front, and everybody was all depressed. And Spyridon Luis was an ex-soldier who had been recruited by his colonel and said, you know what, you're a pretty good runner. Why don't you run 26 miles and not die? So in support of not dying, he actually stopped halfway through the race at one of his uncle's places and had half an orange and a glass of cognac.
Very nice. That's the way to run the race. That should be actually mandatory.
That should be mandatory. You got those beer miles, and you stop in the middle, have a little orange, have some cognac.
That'll get you to
go. That's some good stuff.
I might have done that cross country. We had a 9-mile run on Monday, probably right past my house, stuck in for a donut and a Gatorade.
There you go. That works. That's smart. See, I mean, if the guy that won the first modern Olympic marathon can do it, why can't you? So he recharged a little bit, and it might have been the difference, because as the race wore on, some of the guys, the French guys, started flagging a little bit and had to drop out. The other racers started dropping out. And so no cell phones, no radio, no anything like that. So all these people, thousands of people, gathered in the arena in Athens at the Olympic Stadium, and nobody knows who's in the lead. And so when Spyridon Luis runs through the entrance and starts running around the track, I mean, the place goes freaking nuts, going crazy. The crown prince and the prince of Greece jump out of the royal stand, do the final lap around the stadium with them. Everybody's going crazy. Laurels, you know, flowers being tossed on him. He wins the race. He wins the first Olympic modern marathon. And the king of Greece says to him, my goodness, you've done your country such an honor. I will literally give you anything you want. And he said, well, I could really use a new cart for my horse for my water delivery business. And that's what he got for winning the first modern marathon.
That was the 19th century equivalent of, I think I'm going to Disneyland.
Totally, yeah. I'd like a new cart for my horse, please.
Later after that, and since I'm reading it on Wikipedia, since knowing you, you already know this, after his athletic career, he was arrested for forgery.
He got acquitted after a year.
He was acquitted, though. Good for him. So we don't want to get that.
Besides having a new water cart for his horse, he also got free haircuts for the rest of his life.
Is that true?
That is true.
That I didn't know.
That's a pretty good one right there.
The outfit, is that the outfit he was running in? He couldn't possibly have been running in that crap.
That is a traditional Greek soldier's outfit that he wore.
Don't you wonder what he ran in? He wasn't running naked, because they used to compete naked in the ancient Olympics, but if you're going 26 miles, you can't be running through all these towns buck-ass naked. That isn't. How would your uncle feel? You show up at his house for an orange and a cognac, and your stuff is just dangling all around there. I don't think I would like that.
I've seen stranger things in Eastern Kentucky, I got to tell you.
That's a fair point.
So that's your We Want to Know Wednesday fact. Spyridon Luis, the first winner of the modern Olympic marathon.
Yeah. We want to know Wednesday.
Flatmate Tom, bringing the goods.
We want to know Wednesday.
Very nice. Let's see. Thank you very much. He brought the good stuff today. Did you know that, Nick, you can appreciate this. I don't doubt it's true. Black Friday is the busiest day for plumbers. Lots of clogged sinks and, yes, toilet problems, as you can guess. With lots of people.
Can I tell a quick story?
Well, you're going to, so go ahead.
Peter Burns will join us at 2:30, by the way, and hopefully Chris Redman right after that. So we'll get a little SEC, a little, I guess you could say Chris Redman's more in the ACC realm. What would the, you know, we'll have a little blue, we'll have a little red. But my man, Kevin Moon Mullins, former technical producer.
Yep.
He's still at the station. He got a new apartment recently. He asked me one time, he was here doing a post-game show, Sunday, actually. He was like, hey, would you mind swinging home? I was here for whatever reason. Would you mind swinging home and grabbing my hockey gear and meeting me at the rink? It'll save me a trip. That way we can both get to the game relatively on time.
Okay.
So I did. The problem was, it was Sunday. There was a lot of libations all weekend, what with Worldwide going away and everything like that. Some tacos, whatnot. My stomach decided right then and there I had to go to the bathroom. I just had to go. Right as I got to his apartment.
Oh, so, I know where this is going.
So I used the potty, and it was about a weekend's worth. And lo and behold, the one thing that this nice new apartment does not have is a plunger. So I left my friend's apartment.
Oh, my God.
They stopped up John. It wasn't that bad.
It's terrible. Go to a closet, unscrew a wire hanger, and you put it down like a snake. That's the answer.
Oh, man, I wish I knew that in the future because this keeps happening to me.
Find a wire hanger, snap it, and you bend it, you know, till it snaps, and then you make it, and you twist the end, and you turn into a snake, and you push it down there, and you twirl
it. Well, I wish I would have done that. I guess the question is, how many beers do I owe Kevin? 6, 12, or 18?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Because then Kevin came home from said game, even though I told him, I said, I think I might have clogged your toilet. He came home. It was clogged by paper, by the way, not poop. I want to clarify that because that's a whole other, that's disgusting if you come home with something that's just, you know, fermenting. Mm-hmm. And this was just, there's a little backed up with paper. That's
okay.
All. It's a weak flush. Unlike that one place you had where you could flush a toddler.
Yes.
That was incredible.
That was.
So
you also, if I'm not mistaken, immediately upon moving into the Bellamy, destroyed the bathroom there, if I'm not mistaken.
Not totally my fault, though. That's a disgusting story that I could tell on the air, and I've yet to see that maintenance man. I think he retired immediately after that.
Drove him out of the business.
If not, went to the nearest sanitarium. But, no, it was, there's some, I think someone, like, flushed, like, clothes or something. It was a student apartment. God knows what got flushed down that thing. But it was clogged when I got there. It didn't help that I had the, you know, the first poop in a new place is a thing of endearment. It's, you know, it's, hey, it's your home now. And it's a special
some
occasion.
Some people go have sex in every room. Your idea of christening it is?
I was 21. That was not. I was just starting to get comfortable around girls.
No, I wasn't suggesting.
A couple months later, you know, maybe we could have been right, doing easy. That. But
if you're married, that's you christen the house. You know, everybody talks about that. We have an odd history with toilets. Your friend from high school dropped his cell phone in our toilet. We had to take the toilet out of the bathroom, put it on the front lawn, and they. I don't know what they used, whether it was just a plunger or a special device, but they just kept, and then you heard a, and the phone flew, I don't know, 60, 70 feet.
Yeah, that was nuts.
That's quality entertainment there. That was almost worth destroying our bathroom for your friend. Now often do you get to see a cell phone ricocheted out of a dislodged toilet in the middle of somebody's lawn? I don't know about you, but it's not an everyday occurrence.
My boy Andy Fruits, who just had, I think, his ports taken out. He had a bout with leukemia, but he's kicking its ass.
He had what?
Rooting for you. My man Andy Fruits.
He had what?
He had a bout with leukemia.
Oh, dear God, no.
Yeah, but I think he's kicking its ass. They took his ports out a little while
ago.
His ports? The little, you know, the little things where you have to it's a good sign. I think.
Oh,
it means.
He had I know what you mean.
Yeah, so shout out to you, buddy.
All right. I'm trying to find, let's see if I can find this for you. It's because it's we want to know. Oh, by the way, I thought about this. I want to mention this quickly. Friday, take a look at your Twitter because just because we're not doing a show Friday doesn't mean we can't do a poll Friday. So we are going to do poll Friday. And this week we're going to do two groups of four squaring off for the best documentary narrators. And we went through it on yesterday's show. So you might want to do your research so you can bring the goods to the table. We're going to have Edward Herman and Sam, the hell's his last name? I terribly can never remember the guy's last name. I always want to say Sam Watterson. It's not Sam Watterson. Sam Elliott. And then we're going to make sure we have a couple of women in there because there are a couple of very famous female narrators. And so you'll get a chance to pick that. And we'll crown the Joe Jablonski pole champion again for week number two. Week number one was come Monday. Jimmy Buffett won the poll for best song about day of the week, and now this one will be for best narrator. So that'll be Friday, the semifinals, and then the championship finals will be Saturday and Sunday going into the Monday show. So make sure you get a vote in there. Let's see what we got here. Here's 10 fun facts about Black Friday, bringing you some great information on Black Friday. Contrary to popular belief, it is not the busiest shopping day of the year. How about that? That is actually whatever the last Saturday before Christmas is. How about that? Where did the title come from? It was first used in the 1960s by Philadelphia newspapers, referring to the huge rush of crowds to stores. The current Black Friday term first became used in the 90s and refers to retailers turning profitability or turning their ledger sheet, quote unquote, into black ink, which shows a profit, rather than red ink, which shows a loss. Most of you probably knew that. Not all of the best deals are offered on Black Friday. Most deals for electronics are actually offered at the beginning of November. The best day to save on Christmas decor is November 22nd. The best day to buy toys is actually today, the day before Thanksgiving. If you want to go toy shopping, today's the day. You know about whatever, what do they call the Monday? The online Monday? The online shopping is that's on Monday. But if you dare to wait, the last few days of the shopping season often advertise products that are 10 to 15% cheaper than on Black Friday. So if you're willing to roll the dice, the closer you get to Christmas, you'll get even more aggressive deals. However, Black Friday is still the best day for deals on TVs, appliances, tablets, and jewelry. That hasn't changed. The days from Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday, thank you, that was the term I was looking for. The days from Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday account for 20% of all holiday shopping. All holiday online shopping. Let's see. I believe this is still accurate. Amazon and Walmart dominate online sales, but the number three spot is a battle between Best Buy and Target. I don't know if that's true. That was true 2 years ago. I don't know if that's true.
Wow, both of those are in Minneapolis. It's a mini crime.
They don't want to go outside. It's so cold. On average, shoppers, I say, this is why I would definitely not do it. On average, shoppers will wait 2.5 hours in line for one of the special deals. You got to save a crap ton of money because I am egotistical enough to say, all right, how much is my time worth? I'm going to multiply by 2.5 hours. I'd have to save a lot more money than I'm going to be by standing in line trying to get this stuffed panda. The average shopper, want to know what the average shopper spent on a Black Friday in 2017?
Average shopper, Black Friday, I'm going to say $150.
Just under $1,000.
Whoa.
How about that?
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Black Friday sales declined only one time in recent years, 2008 during the Great Recession. Only 263,000 seasonal workers were hired in 2008. Staggeringly low when you compare it to the recent, one of the recent years where basically on average they hire somewhere just under 800,000 workers. Just for the season. So there you go. So there's your factoids for We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday for Halloween,
we
for Thanksgiving
wanna
week.
We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. So we Want to Know Wednesday.
There we go. Yes, I did know that, but thanks for sharing that. Some of you might not know that. Will Chamberlain never fouled out of a game in his 14-year career.
Holy cow, really?
Never did.
Wow.
Drew must be on CBD. Oh, that's from this morning. Do they still make wire hangers? Of course they do. Go to a dry cleaner. That's all you get your clothes on is wire hangers.
Yeah, I was going
to
say. So yeah, there's a lot of them. Where the hell is that guy getting hangers from? I feel like they're...
Stop the show. I just saw that Giorgio worked out for the Giants yesterday. Oh, my God. I'll have to now make the Giants back on my list of teams. I'll be joining Sweeney and after the Empire Electron singing their fight song.
Are you going to jump ship and become a predominant Giants fan? So it'll be you and Sweeney versus me, Biscuit, and Cooper. Then.
I don't know. I'm rooting for everybody from
New York. I actually kind of like that idea. It evens the numbers a little bit.
Giorgio. Oh, that would be awesome. Giorgio Tavecchio.
I just I do not wonder about this coach, though. I am told he's probably not going to be working here next year because the Giants, how you say in your country, they kind of a suck. So I think he might be doing something else. But for right now, he tell me, just go out and they say, Giorgio, you go out and you go kicky the ball. And I say, yes, sir, Mr. Shermini. I go out and I kicky the ball. I will go and kicky the ball. Whatever you tell me to do it, I will go kicky the ball. So there is one grumpy old guy here, though, I notice. His name is Elias Manninghi, I think. He used to play quarterback or something.
Eli Manning?
Oh, yeah, that is the one. He used to play a lot, and now they say, Mr. Manghini, you do not play no more. We got this guy, and we got this Jones boy, and he is going to play, and you just watch. And he say, I do because I get paid, but I'm not happy. And
how do you say Danny Dimes and... in Italian, Giorgio.
I do not know who this dime man you say is.
What's dime in Italian?
Lira.
Danny Lira?
Yes, si.
Danilo Lira.
Si. So I go and kick the ball, and I hope they keep me around to kick the ball because, one, I like to get the kick the ball and get paid, and two, they have a lot of good Italian restaurants here in New York and in New Jersey. So... I think this is a good fit for Giorgio. So I am hoping, and I look to be a kicking for the Giants. I go and hope they say, hey, Giorgio, go out there, and they kick the ball, and I say, I do, and I win the game. And they say, you are our hero, Giorgio. And I say, look, Coach Shermini, you give me a new chance, and I kick the ball, and everybody are happy for Giorgio. All right, Giorgio, good luck.
Do you have any resentment towards Coach Quinino?
No, Coach Quinino, a good man. He just did not know anything about the football. He tried to do a thing where he complained to me about he have a safeties and we know he get a 2 points. And I say, I say, mamma mia, I play for a guy who don't even know the rules. He's a guy, the guys are playing and they get, and the safety is out. And I say, look at the safety, he make a play. Coach Quinino, why we not get a 2 points? It's a safety. And he just called me some name, which I do not like, and I walk away and go to the bigger fat guys. But that's, that is what team do, and I hold no grudge. I say, Giorgio, you live and let live, and maybe this a new man will know the rules about the game because it is hard. He does not know the rules. He have a stronger safety and he have a weaker safety. And I say, why you put a weaker safety? Why not put two stronger safeties? That is why our defense is no good. You play a guy who's a Noah strong. That does no make a sense, Mr. Quinino. That does no make a sense. And he tell me to just go sit down and be ready to kick the ball. So, you know, I understand, Georgia. We all have to deal with people in positions of power. So, good luck to you. Hope you make the team because the Giants kicker is kind of bad. So, that would be great.
Aldrick Rosas.
Yeah. What's the latest? You were pumping your fists in triumph on the other side.
We got a taping tonight. Yeah, excited. I always like it when guests who are pretty big deals actually call me right back. They don't text; they call. I like that. Makes me feel special. And also, I get to talk to somebody. And I've gotten much better at my voice shaking when I talk to them.
Yeah. Did you know Mr. Rogers always mentioned out loud he was feeding his fish? He would say it out loud.
Why?
Because a young blind viewer once asked him to do so. She wanted to know the fish were okay.
Aw, that guy's awesome.
Has anybody seen that movie? That movie's out, right?
Didn't it open? I don't know.
I think it opened.
Someone has said that the next, deservedly so.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers and Bob Ross have gotten a lot of love recently.
Because
deservedly so, yeah.
Because we want a world that's a little bit more gentle and more civil to each other.
Right, and earnest and kind, yes. And yeah. But someone wanted to throw a third one in there and make it like a triumvirate. Yeah. And I got to be honest, I kind of agree with him. LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow. That guy was part of our childhood, man.
For yours. See, I never... I mean, not the other one. The other ones came along after I was a child, too. But for some reason, I would see them. Maybe with my nieces and nephews saw Sesame Street. I saw the Count. The one, the two.
Plus, he was in Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah, so, you know, and Bob Ross. I love Bob Ross. I'm doing some paintings from that. So, but I never saw... I know who LeVar Burton is, but I never saw... What did he do in Reading Rainbow? He just read to you?
He was like the host. He was, and that was kind of a, I want to say like a slightly more grown up version of Sesame Street, just a little.
You know
bit.
What I always found ironic?
They took field trips and you learned stuff.
I mean, and I don't
and
have
again
a,
Star Trek, Next Generation.
Don't have a problem with the fact that you know, they did a good job in the job. But Nick, one of our favorite collective family shows when you were a toddler, when you were a young lad, was Thomas the Tank Engine. and I'm intrigued that of all the people they chose to narrate it, they got George Carlin, who is as profane and adult a comic as there was on the market, and Ringo Starr, right? Didn't Ringo do it also? Who was Ringo. Part of the Beatles in the heyday where they were basically ingesting and injecting anything they get their mitts on. I think one of them actually did a Barca Lounger on some tour. So
those, how did they even get that in there?
I don't know, but that's...
Put that on the mixtape. By the way, it's almost 2:30.
And what happens at 2:30?
Peter Burns.
Peter Burns is going to come
SEC
on the
network.
Show?
Yeah, Jamie just tried to call me, by the way. He knows I'm on the air. Well, he needs his skates tonight.
That's
Are you going to see him?
No. So, there you go.
He's going to have to come by the restaurant. Because right. Your boy's slinging some burgers tonight.
You, what do you mean? You're not cooking?
Well, no, but I'm helping serve them.
Nice. Good. All right. Well, maybe I'll
$10 come burger special. Maybe, Jack's, baby.
Maybe we'll come by and see you. But in the meantime, we'll talk to Mr. Burns, who is, what's his name's boss?
No. Homer's. Yes.
He'll join
Smithers
us.
Was his assistant.
Okay. All right. We'll do that next. ESPN Radio.
This is Mark Ennis here to tell you about the...
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Texas says, I watched the Mr. Rogers movie this weekend. It was great, so I'm not surprised. Tom Hanks, for starters, subject matter itself. It's a great book if ever you're in Kroger or Meijer. I don't remember which one I got it. There's one of those, you know, they have those books at the register, which I'm a sucker for, you know, commemorating the life of so-and-so or whatever it may be. And there's one on Mr. Rogers, and it's damned entertaining. Very entertaining, really is. Another guy who's very entertaining and was a fine collegiate golfer is the SEC Network's host, ESPN's SEC Network host, Peter Burns. Peter, we might have talked about this, and if we did, forgive me, because I don't remember anything. But on the website is this thing where you did a gender reveal for your daughter back in 2017, I guess, on the 7th tee at Pebble Beach, which is pretty special itself. And then you hit a golf ball. You can tell you're a college golfer because that is a fabulous swing and follow through, by the way. Very nice. Right down the line. Good balance. I like that. And a pink puff of cloud, cloud of smoke comes up, and then your wife, I assume that's your wife, or it's just a very excited member of your foursome, gets a running start and jumps into your arms, and then you had a gender reveal for your girl. Now, Nick tells me you had baby issues today. Is there another baby there, or was that the same child?
Yeah, there was. And it's so funny you said I was a good golfer and had a good swing. That was 2 years ago. That was the last swing I think I took, and now that I've got two kids, clubs never come out.
Could have told you that. Honestly, there's no movies, no golf, nothing. That's right.
No, but yeah, so we got a little one, a little baby boy, and you know it's interesting because you know, but I'm a diehard LSU fan, and my wife's a diehard Alabama fan.
Oh my gosh!
And so there's you know we're kind of recruiting our kids right now, and who are they going to pull for? And so it's funny, you know, my son was born on Halloween right before the LSU-Alabama game. And, of course, LSU defeats Alabama this year. And I turn to her and I go, man, I can't believe my son lives in a world in which Alabama never beats LSU. I go, this is an amazing thing for us.
That poor kid, he's got no – he's like, why, Mommy, why do you roof Alabama? They never win. They're no good. So,
right. That's it. Nice. And, yeah, so trust me, she's gotten the last laugh out of the last, 7 years. But – it makes this weekend so interesting, right? With college football playoff rankings, and of course you got rivalry games like the Governor's Cup. Like, this is the payoff for all of the entire college football season.
Well, it is a big weekend, and it's an interesting weekend, even if there's not national playoff implications like there is. I mean, for Louisville, Kentucky, for example, that's because they're both going to bowl games. They both have had winning seasons. They both have had very interesting seasons for very different reasons, and in many ways, very successful reasons for different reasons. But you know, there are a lot of rivalry games, as you say, that tremendously also impact the national playoff scene. Alabama, much as I may pain you to talk about them, I'll have to ask you, because, you know, the thought of the playoffs going on, as my friend Tim Sullivan said earlier in the show, with Nick Saban with his nose pressed against the glass watching from the outside, seems to be an image we don't get much. How likely is that to happen, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've never had it, right?
That's true.
We've never had a college football playoff that did not have Alabama in it. And again, I you know, everybody has kind of said, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And anyone tells you who knows what the committee's going to do when the rankings are this razor thin right now is completely lying, is completely just throwing a shot in the dark and saying, I'm hoping I hit something. Because I've done the college football playoff mock committee. Like, I've gone up there, I've done the process. Bill Hancock invited a bunch of ESPN people up there to do the process, so we understood it a little bit better. And so after I've done it, I've pegged the top four every single year, just because I get what happens when what the metrics you're using and the eye test and yada yada yada. And I look at it this year, and I have no flipping clue
really
who's going to be one of those three, right? Because here's the thing, Utah is going to end up having, if they beat Oregon, one top 25 win. No top 10 wins, one top 25 win. Oklahoma will have three top 25 wins, along with Utah, a conference championship, but the eye test is not very good. And then if Alabama looks great, like they did last week, albeit it was Western Carolina with Mac Jones against a good Auburn team, they'll have just as many wins as Utah. I can make a case for all three of the teams right now and not be wrong, and that's never happened this late into the season.
Well, you kind of stole my next question, which is fine, because I was going to ask you, and I'm not saying this to be snarky. I mean, we both are, in the same church, different pews here, and I've loved working for ESPN. I assume you like it as well, so I have great respect for what they do, but they're trying to get eyeballs on the TV set for the selection show, who's in, and so every year you see this kind of narrative, and I just watched, and it was behind me here in the studio, it rolled across the screen, and it was, is chaos looming for the college football playoff? And I said to myself, we ask this every year, and it never seems to play out that way. But if you listen to people, and based on what you said, you sound like this may be a little different. We can't guarantee, but it looks like the setting is ripe, if you will, for maybe there is chaos this year.
Well, and honestly, to a certain extent, the College Football Playoff Committee would want chaos, right? It would make their life a whole lot easier if Auburn wins and Oregon wins. Like, to me, that's the easiest thing that gets them out scot-free, that you have, LSU winning, you have Ohio State, and you have Clemson all winning, and then Alabama would lose, and then you would have either probably Oregon beat Utah. Then it's simple. You put Oklahoma in there, no one's going to complain. But I do get that a lot, too, from people that go, oh, it's just a TV-driven deal. I'm like, yeah, the ratings show is, but the process is not. And what I mean by that is when you go in and do this process, the way that they put it on the table, there's no discussions like, oh, well, let's put Baylor here so that helps Oklahoma there. And in fact, the way the software is built, it's kind of made against that. You're making choices. Well, you'll put, all right, I'm going to have Baylor, Auburn, and Minnesota all together in these little pods. How would I rank these three teams right now based on their resume and what they look like in these discussions? So to think, we'll go hindsight's 20/20 always when we come back there and do an autopsy on the rankings to go, oh, it's clear that the committee wanted to do this by raising the bar here. No, each week they basically start from zero, throw in all these metrics, discuss it, and put the rankings together.
Is it fair to say, while some teams, obviously the odds are much longer than others, the nine teams with one loss or no losses are all still technically in play for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I mean, the only two teams that lost last week that don't really have a chance anymore were Oregon and Penn State. Once you got that second loss, I mean, you would have to have chaos like 2007 where everybody and their mother and their cousin lost craziness to get back involved. But, yeah, I mean, there's still technically nine teams, and really I think there's six teams that control their own fate. Obviously the top four right now, and so Georgia being in that mix, but if you also look at Minnesota,
yes.
Minnesota, who's on the outside looking in, they win, they have that opportunity as well. And it may just be only five teams. Again, right now, Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor, those squads feel better. The only one I really think that doesn't have an opportunity is Baylor, even though they got a big bump up. Their non-conference schedule was really poor. They played Stephen F. Austin, University of Texas San Antonio, Rice. When comparing other one-loss teams, it's really going to be difficult to say Baylor, wasn't blowing people out by 30 in all of those games, and they played a really weak non-conference schedule.
Pete, let's talk about the game here. I don't know how familiar you would be with Louisville because you're spending most of your time with the SEC, but Kentucky, and I've said this before, I think Mark Stoops has done a very, very good job there. It is Kentucky. I don't mean that as a left-handed compliment, but I mean it's true.
No.
They have not been a football power of any sort, and he is, you know, consistently having them with 6, 7, 8-win bowl caliber teams. The Big Ten-win breakout season last year. This year he lost a lot of really good players from last year's squad and loses his starting quarterback, and they're already bowl eligible. That's not insignificant. It's not going to be one of the great seasons in the history of the school, but it's not insignificant. But you've seen them. Go ahead.
And real quick, to add to that, I would actually say the coaching job that Stoops has done this year at Kentucky is better than the one that he had last year with 10 wins. Because the last year, that team was absolutely loaded. It got decimated by guys going to the NFL. When they lost Terry Wilson, they had to go all the way down to Lynn Bowden, the wide receiver. And they, each and every week, like Satterfield knows this week, they're going to throw it maybe 5 times, right? It's like playing Navy or like playing a Georgia Tech back in the day. Like, this is a rushing attack, yet no one's really been able to stop it. You know, they're averaging, what, almost like 350 yards rushing a game in the last couple of weeks. They've won 4 of the last 6 with a wide receiver playing quarterback. So I'd argue the fact that they didn't let this completely fall apart this season, probably marked it as good of a job this year as he did last year in the 10-win season.
All right, so having said that, you know, Louisville's offense, though, even in games they lost to Miami, and they still put like 500 yards of offense on the board. So that's what people are saying. Well, they're playing a better defense, and Louisville fans are saying, well, it is a better defense, but this offense is among the better ones that Kentucky's faced as well. So what kind of a game do you expect? How do you look at it?
Yeah. We know what Kentucky is. Kentucky's the easiest team to say, what are they going to do? They're going to try to run it. They're going to run it awfully well. And now I go back and look at the stats of what Louisville has done. I think they're, what, like 10th in the ACC right now in defending the run. Now, that's, of course, because people have had a little success against the pass on them. But to me, it's a matter of, can Satterfield and that defense get the ball back? And what I mean by that is, you know, when you look at Kentucky games right now, it's 7, 8-minute drives that they just suck the amount of possessions that another team can have. And with Satterfield being, you know, just the offense being able to click at certain points, you have to just minimize how many times the Cardinals are going to get the ball. And the problem is here is where it's a beauty for Kentucky in this matchup, is that you probably should be able to run the ball fairly well against Louisville. The problem is that if Louisville gets behind and they've got to pass the ball, A, they're not going to have as many possessions to do it, and they're going against the number one pass defense, believe it or not, in the SEC, which is crazy with the amount of guys that the Wildcats lost in the back end, the secondary. That was our biggest question mark. It turned out to be their biggest strength.
Hey, Peter, it's great to catch up with you. I hope your babies are doing okay, and we appreciate you getting them settled so you can join us. Thanks for talking with us. Take care.
Real quick, did you cry in Mr. Rogers' movie?
I didn't see it yet. That's what I've heard.
Oh,
did you
okay.
see it? Did you see it?
I did not. I heard you talk about it earlier. Me and my wife were thinking about going to see it, but I'm like, I didn't know if you cried. I feel like I'm going to cry in it.
Oh, I've got a handful of people who've written us and said just that. They said it's really good. And then somebody said, as good as the movie is, the documentary on him is probably even better. That'll definitely make you cry.
There it is. Rogers. I'll watch it out.
Big
see
fan. All right, brother. Take care of yourself. Mr. Rogers getting a lot of love here on We Want to Know Friday. Did you know on We Want to Know Friday, referees who work the Super Bowl also
Friday.
Get
we
rings.
Want to
we Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. Do you know referees who work the Super Bowl also receive rings?
That's kind of cool. I mean, they are kind of part of the show.
Sure. Why not? It's a great accomplishment. Because you have to earn it. While the fans think they all suck, the league picks the ones that they think are the best, and they put you in that game. So, quite an honor. Chris Redmond maybe going to join us? Not going to join us?
I'm going to give him a call right now. While I'm calling him, why don't you remind everybody about jewelry.
I already did that.
You want sandwiches.
You wanted me to tell them about
windows.
Vitality weight loss. Already did windows.
Vitality.
Vitality. What about Vitality? Who is Vitality?
Dick Vitality.
No, that's not his name. It's Dick Vitale. Do you know what Vitality is? Card.
You better tell somebody.
What you don't know, you should know, because they've helped you lose 30 pounds.
Yeah, I'm quite the fan of theirs.
Yes, and you know why? Because it's Vitality, wellness, and weight loss. They make you
and also
well.
Wellness.
I said, yeah, wellness and weight loss.
Yeah, you lose weight, but you also feel better.
Yeah, I said wellness and weight loss. That's why I said both of them. I said wellness and weight loss.
Right.
And then you said and wellness and weight loss. Both. Wellness and weight loss. Yes? It's Billy Odell. He said, I should do the read. You guys suck.
We want to know Wednesday.
Not today.
He was a little pissed off last time.
Yeah, right? He got a little diva-ish. Hormones is going to be that age. But vitality, wellness, and weight loss will make you healthier, and it does it in a very scientific fashion. You understand everything they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're doing it. They do a breakdown of your body with a little scan. It's not painful. They do a body scan, and it shows you all the nutrients and minerals that your body needs, and then they make a supplement that is just for your needs, because everybody's are different. Nick's is different than mine, and we'd be different than yours, and they give you the supplements that suit just exactly what you need. So it literally is making you healthier. But then you also couple that with an eating plan that suits your lifestyle and also is a healthier way to go as well. You'll lose weight, you'll look better, all those things are great, but you'll also feel better and you'll be healthier. I mean, I keep telling people about the weight loss because that's cool, but I could not believe I went to the cardiologist for my 6-month check-in, and my blood pressure was probably as low as it's been in, I was going to say 17 years, but it might be more than 20 years. It went from being borderline hypertension to legitimately hypertension to, she said, it's textbook now, 110 over 65. That is amazing, and I attribute that to my friends at Vitality. And, of course, the great work. I appreciate Dr. Rangaswamy and the folks over at Jewish Hospital. I don't want to minimize that. But, listen, I was going to them before that, and it was once I got on this and lost the weight that things have changed. So it's very cool. So
I just had a physical.
Doctor, oh, yeah, you did, literally.
Dr. Christopher Pitcock, shout out to our friends over at Baptist Sports Health Medicine, centered on you.
What?
And they measured my blood pressure, and I wanted to ask. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at urgent care, and they said it was fantastic. I said, how's my blood pressure? She said, perfect. Literally, verbatim, perfect. And then they listened to my heart, and he said, yeah, you sound very good. You sound great, actually.
Your heart was actually
perfect and great. I've never had those in the past 3 years at a physical. It's usually just like, So, thank you, Vitality.
Yeah.
We also have Chris Redd.
Chris Redman, who was a healthy fellow. Well, he's still healthy, but he was very healthy in the day. Because, you know, he used to play quarterback in the National Football League for the Baltimore Ravens, which is where this other Louisville quarterback plays. And Chris Redman joins us now. That new guy's pretty good. I don't know if you've noticed him. He's playing pretty good for them.
Playing pretty good. A little bit different style than I probably play. But, man, how fun is this to watch this guy? And it's so cool to know that he's from Louisville. And man, there's so many people around town talk about him, pulling for him, watching him, and he's going to be—he's the next big deal in the NFL. And I think you're seeing a change in the game. Everybody's talked about it over the years, but I think people are actually changing their offense. Even with Michael Vick, they didn't really change the offense.
Right.
Or Mike, they're changing the offense for Lamar. And so I think if they'd have done that back in the day, can you imagine what Michael Vick would look like in the shotgun on first down instead of just doing off of bootlegs? You actually, have a running game that's designated just for your quarterback. I think that's a game changer, and I'm happy for Lamar.
You know what strikes me, and this is what I wanted to ask you. Obviously, most people remember you as a player, a great thrower of the football. You were not a running quarterback by nature, and the reason I bring that up is because the knock, if you want to call it that, if it was on Lamar, or the concern, if it wasn't a knock, is, well, you can't play quarterback like that in the NFL. You can't run the football. That teams don't want you to do that because they're risk of getting hurt and all that. But the fact of the matter is, I watch these teams playing traditional pocket quarterbacks for the most part, and their quarterbacks are getting hurt anyway. So, I mean, I'm not trying to be cavalier. I'm really not being flip about this. You know, it's your health, not mine. I wouldn't want you getting smashed around. But if I'm a guy and saying, well, the quarterbacks are getting hit anyway, why not, if a guy's going to get hit, take a guy who brings an added dimension to our attack and let him be an effective runner? That would be the thing that persuades me as much as anybody, because you know that's the reason that nobody wanted to embrace it. But every time I look up, I mean, you know, Drew Brees, and the list goes on and on. Matthew Stafford, these guys are all getting hurt anyway, so you might as well take a guy who can be an attack and run the football, because the pocket guys are getting hurt as much as the runners would be.
Well, you know, it's a tough game. Injury's going to happen no matter what. You know, the season's not over either. I mean, he could go out next week and try to make one of those spin moves and tear his, God forbid,
right,
something like that happen. And then it goes right back to the conversation, well, do you really want to have a running quarterback? And, you know, you start the whole process over. But if he stays healthy and, you know, there's a big key to that, in my opinion, is learning how to fall when you're you know, when you're moving forward. Instead of trying to run a guy over, you dive at an open spot moving forward, and you have to learn how to take a hit and how to fall when you're a running quarterback. And I think he's mastered that art of knowing when to get out of bounds, when to dive. But he never really runs out of bounds, and he's a very tough kid. And I think that's why everybody, especially in Baltimore, they love that type of personality. I think he's really mastered that art of being able to fall forward in a safe place and not get hit. But, you know, like I said, I mean, it could easily change in one instance. But to your point, it could happen to a guy, you know, in the pocket like Carson Palmer and get your knee twisted. You know, it just... That's the name of the game, but man, it's fun to watch right now.
It's Chris Redman, who we enjoy speaking with, and the Governor's Cup comes up, a game you played in, and so you know you're familiar with this rivalry. I know where your heart would be for this game, obviously. What does your head tell you about this matchup?
Well, it's a matter if you know, UofL defense shows up and they can stop this run, which, you know, I would always argue, you know, if you have pretty much a one-dimensional team, you should be able to stop that, you know, at least limit it to what they've been limited. But, you know, as far as UofL's offense, really no one's stopping them this year. And so I think the advantage goes to UofL just because of their dynamic wide receivers and running backs now and quarterback that's able to run too. So I think there's too much, you know, and like I said, impartially, I just think there's too many weapons offensively. But you're playing down in Kentucky, you know, you can't turn the ball over. You have to play smart on special teams. You know, you get all those things going the wrong way, it could easily be a Kentucky ball game as well. And, you know, it's obviously, if it gets cold, the weather looks like it's going to be pretty chilly, you know, windy, it might be harder to throw. You know, those are all things that maybe favor Kentucky. So it's a rivalry game. It's going to be close. There's going to be a lot of emotions, and you know, both teams are going to be playing hard. But I think the advantage definitely goes with Louisville just because of the weapon factor.
I don't know if I'm overstating this. Is Hawkins going to be almost the key to the game? In other words, if he's able to run as he's been running, not that he'll offset what Kentucky's doing, because Louisville still have more balance offensively. But, I mean, he's kind of, I don't want to say lost. He's getting some recognition, but I'm not sure he's getting the recognition he deserves for the kind of season he's having.
He's got a lot of speed, and, you know, that all kind of starts up front. You know, you have to be able to push the defensive line back, and you know that's where it starts. And you know, if he can get, you know, every time he comes in, you're like, man, why isn't that guy playing? But then you see the other running back. You know, it's just they're both great. I mean, it's great to have multiple weapons. I think they're both really good. You know, but you know, like I said, I think the offensive line is the key. If they come out and have a good game, that just opens up so much other stuff off of play action that you can do. It's a very similar offense like we were talking about Lamar earlier. If you can set things up with that run with the quarterback in the shotgun, man, it just opens up so many different things you can do. But you have to control the offensive line, and I think that's going to be a key for sure.
We got to go, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I hope I see you soon, Chris.
Absolutely, Bob. You too. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
All right, Chris Redman with us helping us break down the Governor's Cup. Speaking of which, it's Governor's Cup time in the Bluegrass. The Cards and Cats set to square off in Lexington. Liquor Barn, your place to prepare for your tailgate or game watch party for the regular season finale. To place an order for pickup or delivery, download the Liquor Barn app, visit liquorbarn.com, or call your local Liquor Barn store. Shop Kentucky's favorite spirits, wine, and beer. Kentucky's favorite spirits, wine, and beer store, and you'll have more time for your favorite team, Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. And we'll be celebrating this weekend, certainly Thanksgiving for starters, big Louisville matchup with Western Kentucky in basketball, and then the Governor's Cup game. The coverage here is just absolutely saturated. ESPN 680 and 105.7 for Governor's Cup starts at 8 a.m. with UofL and UK pregame coverage, just talking about the game in general. 10 o'clock, we go our separate ways. ESPN 680, 105.7, we'll have the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance pregame with James Strebel, and Coors Light Louisville's pregame with Mark Ennis goes to 93.9 The Ville. Following the game at 3 o'clock on 680, 105.7, James Strebel's back again with the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame. You'll hear from the players and coaches, and they'll take calls. And it's the exact same thing on 93.9 for The Ville with the Coors Light Louisville postgame with Mark Ennis. So you don't want to miss that. Plus, Louisville basketball comes your way.
Friday, Cards going to Nashville to take on Western Kentucky. The Western Kentucky call of the game will be on 93.9 The Ville at starting at 5. And then the coverage on ESPN 680 afterwards. Don't forget the Coors Light post-game show on all ESPN Louisville stations Friday. Everybody have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Unless you know something I don't, we will talk to you briefly Friday. I'll be down there doing the basketball game, but we'll check in with you from down there, and then we'll be back at it on Monday. Have a great, safe holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you on Friday briefly, and then back on Monday. Nick wants to say something before I leave. He doesn't want to. He's just pointing at me for no apparent reason.
No, just have a happy, safe Thanksgiving.
All right, you guys do that, and we're going to step aside. Next comes The Take with Andy Sweeney, everybody. It's ESPN 680-1057.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Mom's a dude.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.